what they know about them Texas boys.
You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. I'm your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EddieExperience, one E in the middle. And with me, as always, he's the man who picked out Conor McGregor's gaudy new watches, Mr. Jordan Wahlberger. Jordan, have you seen Conor's watches?
I did. I saw the one that people are referring to online, Eddie. This is exciting. It is a Conor McGregor fight week. The UFC is back. They came back with a bang this week on ABC. Eddie, there is so much going on, and I'm so excited to see you today.
There is so much going on. He's bought at least two of them watches. Spent at least $3 million.
Well,
and he's only been on Abu Dhabi for like a week.
He deserves it. Let's be honest. Eddie, before we get into this, you can find us at Nonstop. You can find me at Nonstop MMA. You can find Eddie and I at Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. Guys, it's fun. I'm happy. How did you think the show did on Friday night on The Horn last week?
That's a great question.
That was a new kind of adventure for us right there.
Yeah, tell you a little bitty secret. Friday night is where I originally wanted the show, just so you could have it real fresh in your mind for Saturdays. Because that's when most of the events are. So I kind of like being pushed to Fridays.
Yeah, it was good.
I mean, you have a whole week's worth of news to talk about.
We did. Usually, you know, sometimes we get stuck by doing this earlier in the week so we can make our show on Wednesday, and we miss what happens in the rest of the week. We know this week there's going to be a press conference on Thursday. There's some media days that are happening this week that we won't be able to be a part of for the show this week because of where the show ends. And that last week, we actually got lucky. We were able to have Max Holloway on the show, Carlos Condit on the show, Joaquin Buckley on the show, because we pushed the show to Friday.
And this week, there will be no pushing to Friday again for UT basketball because the Iowa State game has been postponed due to COVID.
Okay. Well,
so we're back on Wednesdays.
We are back on Wednesdays.
We are back.
So, Eddie, this is weird. It's only been a few days since the last time I saw you. Anything going on? I know you watched a lot of football. I know your Bears aren't anywhere to be found right now.
Man, you did not have to bring that up, dude. That's just mean. That's just unnecessary. I haven't done much since we last talked. Although my mom has gotten her first vaccination shot.
Great.
So that's exciting.
Good to hear.
That's like the only news in my life since then.
Yeah, not much is going on over here, Eddie. I did tell you, we talked about this last year. I went on a no treats, no desserts, 2020. And I lasted the whole year. And I haven't gone crazy yet in 2021, but I've definitely partook, right?
A little You're bit waiting of ice for the Super Bowl cream, party.
A little bit of, I'm going to be in Mexico in a couple weeks, and I'm going to take advantage of it there. I'm actually going to be in Mexico next week. Eddie, I don't know if you know this.
Still a pandemic going on, right?
I do know it's a pandemic. That's why I'm going to an all-inclusive where I don't have to leave the resort. And the good news is that now that I know that I have to get a COVID test to return back to the U.S., good news, my resort's going to be offering that. So, and they said that if I do get COVID when I'm down there and I end up getting a failed COVID test, they will pay for me to quarantine in their hotel for 2 more weeks.
Oh, dude, give me COVID again.
On the beach in Mexico, that would be the opportunity.
Well, at least make sure you probably have to stay in your room, so at least make sure that it faces the water.
Yeah, that would be, they give you like a broom closet. That's the COVID room. The problem would be like if something really bad happens, I don't want to be in a hospital in Mexico.
No, you don't.
I don't want anything else to happen there. So I haven't told you that yet, but I don't think it should affect our show next week. I'm going there, Eddie, for lucky number 40. I am, T-minus, 15 days. What's today? T-minus 2 weeks from turning. I turn 40 next week.
Man, you are getting up. And of all the old guy jokes you pointed me, here you are hitting the big 4-0.
Yeah, but I make 40 look good, Eddie. You over there making, you're making 60 look ancient.
Maybe so. Your hair. I'll give you that.
All right, Eddie. Last Saturday, it was, you could imagine my wife's joy. When middle of the afternoon, she says, "What are you doing?" I say, "I'm watching fights," and I start watching fights in the middle of the afternoon on ABC. Great time watching ABC, and ABC kicked it off like, you know, they called this UFC on ABC 1, which leads us to hope that there's going to be more UFC on ABC, and they delivered. Eddie, you got to think back to that first fight that the UFC had on Fox back in the day.
Fox must be so jealous.
I remember when we were getting ready for that Cain Velasquez versus Junior Santos fight, and I was telling everyone, you've got to watch it. It's going to be on Fox. Just tune in. And they're like, does that always happen? That's like 68 seconds. And this was like a moment, right? When you probably have people telling people, you've got to turn this Max Holloway, Calvin Kattar fight on right now. I haven't seen any ratings yet, Eddie, but you've got to think that, you know, the suburban moms and, the soccer moms, they, you know, I'm sure what they were in for, but they got their money's worth.
I don't think
worth.
They loved it.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the first Ultimate Fighter finale. And I'm just telling my buddy who came over to watch the playoffs, he got here just in time for the beginning of the fourth round of Max and Kattar. And I'm telling him, there are people all over the nation right now calling their friends saying, you got to turn to ABC. And like I said, Fox must be so jealous, because when they had their UFC on Fox 1, they only showed that last fight, the main event, but the card leading up to that was great.
Yeah.
And they missed out on all that.
All right, so let's talk about the Saturday afternoon card. You had a ton of people out there, Eddie, that are now calling this probably the fight of the year. You know, it's easy to say, well, we're a week in, probably fight of the year so far, but will this
last?
It'll
be hard to beat.
Will this be the fight of the year? And I actually disagree with that. And I disagree with it because I think this is the performance of the year. Max Holloway, and on top of that, could have done the performance of his career. Max Holloway, the volume that he threw was incredible. It was incredible that he could keep that pace up the entire fight. I just want to highlight what Max Holloway did in this fight in five rounds against Calvin Kattar. He now owns the record for the most significant strikes landed with 445. The previous was 290. He has significant strikes attempted, 744 over previous 515. Total strikes landed, total strikes attempted, significant head strikes, significant body strikes, significant strikes in a round. And he ended up winning this fight card 50-43, 50-43, 50-42, Eddie, which means you had, on one card, you had three 10-8 rounds. That's like nothing we've ever seen before.
Dude, if you hit me 400 times, I would just be dead. And Calvin Kattar is still standing there, swinging to the point where the referee doesn't feel comfortable stopping the match yet. How many people, raise your hand if you thought this fight should have been ended in the fourth round?
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Eddie. I mean, you look back, and that's what's kind of tough about this kind of a fight, is that you think about how like masterful Max Holloway was. But you think about the flip side and what the damage that was being done to Calvin Kattar. And Calvin Kattar did throw a ton of strikes in that fight. But we know that going into this, we knew that Calvin Kattar, historically, he eats more shots than he's given more shots in like a minute, okay? And so we knew that he was going to have to get to give. And we thought that, you know, in the past, his power has been enough to stop people, you know, throughout the fight when he's able to land those shots. This wasn't the case here. He received much more damage. You mentioned the fourth round. In this round, Max landed 141 of 191 significant shots. Some very rough elbows to the point that Calvin could barely stand in this fight.
Well, he broke his nose.
You wonder kind of what cost.
Couldn't breathe
though,
either.
What cost did this come to Calvin Kattar to just participate in this fight?
Yeah, and to see a fight like this, especially right after getting the Spencer Fisher news this week, I mean, it made it even worse. But like you said, Calvin Kattar is known to take more shots and then come out throwing bombs. And just when you think, like, oh, the referee should step in, he throws a couple of haymakers at Holloway. So, you know, the ref backs off. And like, well, this is just going to go on for another minute or so until it happens again. And then it just kept going. Calvin Kattar is literally too tough for his own good.
No, he really is. And that's what's kind of scary is that, you know, a fighter who is too tough for his own good has a shorter career than he should, right? And the other thing, we hope that he doesn't have a shorter life than he should either. And so we wonder, Eddie, do you blame anyone? The corner, the ref, should someone have stopped this fight to save Calvin Kattar?
You would like to think so. But like I said, the referee, I know part of his job is to save the fighter from themselves. But when a fighter has the reputation of Calvin Kattar, from taking shots and then coming back with big ones, you kind of give him the benefit of the doubt. Same with his corner. And it's really hard to say that they did the wrong thing by not stopping it. But inside, you want them to stop it because you see all the damage, but you know he's got a puncher's chance. But now, can you imagine having to be Calvin Kattar flying back to Boston with a broken nose and who knows how much internal damage? I mean,
tough pill to swallow there.
He can't swallow a pill right now.
Yeah, after the fight, Max Holloway said that he's going to be sticking around for the main event this next week, McGregor versus Poirier, and said that, hey, if something falls out, he wants to step into that fight, which just shows how much of a beast Max Holloway is.
Yeah, but he's got a few knots on his head, too, so that's not going to happen either way.
Yeah, we'll see. The UFC did announce, though, that Alexander Volkanovski will defend the featherweight title at the end of March against Brian Ortega. You would think, though, you know, that Max has earned himself a title shot. He's lost twice now, two controversial fights to the champion Alexander Volkanovski. But you would think that he could have earned himself a shot based on this performance.
Yeah, and this really messes up my prediction for who will hold the featherweight title at the end of the year. I said Brian Ortega, not thinking Max Holloway would get a title shot this quickly. But after this performance, you know, I still think Ortega has a great shot of upsetting Volkanovski. But then if he's got to face Holloway again, there goes my prediction for featherweight.
Yeah, that could be tough. I would think maybe you put Max Holloway versus Zabit Magomedsharipov in the undercard of that fight. But Max, obviously, I think he has punched his ticket to the trilogy. But I would love to see a Max Holloway Zabit fight as well.
Yeah, that would be great. But you got to feel a little sorry for Volkanovski if that happens, because controversial or not, he did win twice against Holloway. And sometimes you go, well, maybe this is just me, but if you beat a guy twice, you don't have to fight him again. You know, what is your incentive for fighting someone again? I feel the same way about Amanda Nunes and Valentino Shevchenko. Like, you won twice. Why do I have to go fight him again? Oh, yeah. They got close? You don't get another chance just because you got close, you lost.
Yeah, I get that.
But
right?
If you clean out the rest of the division, if Holloway does beat, like, Zabit, and then maybe just Zabit, yeah, or then Zabit and someone else, then that's the top of the division. You got to give it to him.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I really think that's the thing. You could give him a title shot after this. I do agree with you that Volkanovski just can't keep fighting against Max Holloway until he finally loses to Max Holloway, right? That's not how it works. But Max Holloway, he did defeat number 6, Calvin Kattar. If you did put him up against someone like a Zabit, who is number 3, that would more than warrant, because the only people above Zabit, you got Brian Ortega. He's getting that title shot at the end of March. Then Max Holloway is number 1. Below that is Yair Rodriguez. Yair, we know he has a couple of things that he's got to take care of, so he's out of action for a while. And then the Korean Zombie, who just lost to Brian Ortega. So I think you have no argument right now. I mean, if they give Max Holloway the fight, obviously that's, you know, you could say he's earned it. But if he goes and defeats Zabit as well, there's no question about it. And no ifs, ands, or buts. He's back at the top. He's cleared out the division. He's got wins over two of the top contenders in the division, and he's still ranked number 1. So you kind of got to give him the title shot at that point.
Completely agreed.
Yeah. But that would also help me with my pick of Zabit being the champion at the end of the year, because if Holloway gets the title shot, there's not going to be a chance for Zabit to get a fight at some point at the end of the year. So
yeah, we're just selfish old men, aren't we?
That's kind of how it works. All right, Eddie. Great performance from Max Holloway. One thing that we don't pick, you know, we don't do a tappy for the performance of the year. I can't imagine that anyone could defeat Max Holloway based on that performance. It was an incredible fight, but it was much more one-sided. That is why I wouldn't say it's the fight of the year.
Yeah, but it could also be the beating of the year.
I mean, the beating of the year, just an incredible performance from Max Holloway. And
the fact that in the 5th round, Max literally entered the Matrix, where he's talking smack to the commentating desk, all the while dodging punches from Calvin Kattar. Like, that's a new one. You know, I've seen people talking to the commentators, especially now in the COVID era when they can hear everything. You've seen Anderson Silva, you know, ducking and dodging and knocking people out. What's doing at the same time is just ridiculous. He went to a whole new level there.
In the co-main event, you had Carlos Condit defeat Matt Brown via unanimous decision. Now, when I talked to Carlos, we found out that this was the last fight on his contract, that he was, you know, had the option to go somewhere else. You know, it sounds like, you know, he's got 2 wins in a row now, Court McGee and Matt Brown. I think he'll probably stay. Now, this fight was, in Matt Brown's eyes, it was controversial. He thought that he didn't like the 30-27 scorecard. I do think the judges got it right in the end. I thought that Matt Brown won the first round, but at the end of the day, I thought Carlos Condit should have got that win.
Yeah, the only thing controversial was the score, but the winner was correct. And I would say that for this being, you know, maybe a first-time tune-in for some casuals on ABC, this fight helped round out the card, the mixed martial arts part of the card,
because there was wrestling, but not like lay and pray, you know, spend all day on the ground wrestling. You saw some good reversals, some interesting takedowns by Condit. Definitely. So that part I thought was really fun. Like, if you hadn't watched MMA before, it was so much better than, like, I hate to say it, but a later GSP fight. You know, maybe even sometimes a DC fight. It was fun takedowns.
Yeah,
fun
wrestling. I thought the fight took a little bit more on the ground than I thought it would.
Oh, yeah.
But overall, I mean, I thought it was a good fight. Now, you look at Carlos Condit, right? If he does come back to the UFC, I don't see him cracking the top, you know, definitely not the top 10, but more, you know, probably not the top 15 either. You look at guys that are in there, Bilal Muhammad, Vicente Luque, Jeff Neal, your breakout fighter of the year for 2021. I don't think he beats those guys, right? And so I don't see him getting into the mix there.
You know, what I want to see is Carlos Condit go to the PFL. Their welterweight division is going to be pretty interesting.
How would you think he would do against someone like a Rory McDonald there then?
I think it would be a pretty good fight. Did they fight before?
I do believe that they fought. Yes.
Yeah, and Condit win at the last second or something like that?
I think back in the day. I've got to think back to when that fight was, but I think you are right.
So that'd be a great rematch. And also, you know, a big payday on his way out and maybe a little bit lower competition before he hits to someone like Rory.
Yeah, he fought Rory McDonald back in 2010 and finished him in the third round by TKO. So, yeah, that hopefully they would match him up in different sides of the bracket, if anything.
Exactly. Okay. And that's what I would want to see from Carlos Condit, who back when he was more active was one of my favorite fighters. Actually got to meet him up at an event they had up in Fort Hood when he was interim champ. Unfortunately, he didn't bring the belt. But, yeah, Carlos Condit, Rory McDonald, PFL 2021. Book it.
All right. Eddie, that's good matchmaking right there.
That million-dollar payday is going to entice a lot of people.
Yeah, that's true. The fight card on ABC, though, it started off hot. Three first-round finishes, right? So the first one you had Punahele Soriana defeat Dusko Todorovic. First-round KO. Good win for Soriana. It was weird when you saw that mouth guard. And Dana White talked about this afterwards where he's like, how crazy is that the mouth guard got lodged under the cage, under the fence, and like they couldn't get it out. But he was rocked, right? Todorovic was rocked and had that chance to recover. And even longer when they were trying to get the mouthpiece out, you were wondering, is this going to have some effect on the fight? Turns out comes back and he gets finished right after that.
Yeah, I'm sitting there thinking, don't they have a backup mouthpiece? I thought that was a thing.
Well, the ref, you heard the ref calling for it, right? Hey, where's the backup mouthpiece? Where's the backup mouthpiece? And they were able to get the other mouthpiece out. I wonder, you wonder, like, is that thing dirty? You really want to put that thing right back in your mouth?
No, you do not. I mean, luckily it was the first fight on the main card, but there had been five other prelims before that.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure the others are spraying disinfectant and stuff throughout the cage between fights.
So. Maybe not under the mat where it's where it got lodged under there with all the other crumbs.
Yeah, that's where I was going. I'm like, in the crevices and the corners, ugh. He needs to be tested for a few more things now.
Yeah, now definitely will. Second fight on the main card, you had Alessio De Chirico defeat Joaquin Buckley. You think, you know, De Chirico came in, he was on a 3-fight losing streak, and maybe, just maybe, Eddie, they the UFC was trying to get Joaquin Buckley another highlight win, do it on ABC, but in the end, he got caught with a head kick, and then he was finished. Then he finished Buckley on the ground. Good win, obviously, and a great opportunity for De Chirico.
Yeah, exactly. You have to think that this was completely set up for Buckley to score a highlight on TV. But he did. He was just on the wrong end of it. And, man, that kick came out of nowhere. I mean, perfect placement, shin to the temple. That's one that can take a year off your career, dude. Yep. That was harsh.
Well, you think, you know, you live by the back kick and you die by the kick. And Joaquin Buckley got that highlight from that original spinning back kick and then gets a head kick KO to himself. So
yeah, MMA, she is a fickle mistress.
She is. She is indeed. All right, Eddie, last fight on the main card, Li Jingliang defeated Santiago Ponzinibbio. First round KO. This was Ponzinibbio's first fight in over 2 years. He was on a 7-fight win streak going back to 2015. Ponzinibbio didn't like the stoppage. He argued it, but in the end, I thought it was a good stoppage. I thought Li Jingliang, he clipped him. Santiago Ponzinibbio went down. I was fine with the stoppage.
Yeah, it was a great stoppage. He was out for a second. I mean, it was only a second. And, you know, you hit a guy again, you wake him up. But he was out. It was over. And nothing to complain about.
Yeah.
My biggest complaint is that the UFC had, ABC had booked 3 hours for these five fights. Okay? with the first three of them ending in the first round, you realize how much time they wasted? They ended Holloway Cater, the decision, with about 4 or 5 minutes to go before their time ran out. That means they used so much time just showing like little snippets and previewing 257. I mean, I got bored.
Well, I mean, that's they're not doing it for you, Eddie. They know you're going to stick around. They know you're going to watch. The idea is that they're going to get eyeballs next week. It's on ABC. Let's run as many Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier ads as we can. That way we sell more, you know, pay-per-views next week, obviously.
So. It really makes you appreciate the ESPN Plus cards when they don't need to do all that. Like, oh, next one up. Let's go. And now you're just sitting around waiting.
Yeah. No, they did it. They said that had they gone over, they would have been cut off. They would have had to go straight to the news. But I mean, I guess when you control that immediately, when you say, hey, this fight is 5 minutes, 1 minute rounds. Imagine if there was like a foul somewhere, that would have been a problem.
Yeah. But also I looked at my guide to set record and the next half hour block just said, it was like TBA.
Yeah.
It's like no info available. So I think they had a little space just in case, which is smart of ABC because it is a live sporting event. And as a sport management professional, I thank them for using their brains.
There you go. Good for business right there.
Yeah.
All right, Eddie, that was UFC on ABC One. Guys, you're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
Hi, this is Bruce Buffer, and you're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 with Jordan and Eddie.
It's What's Up With That.
Woke up this morning and I got out of bed. Had a big old cup of coffee to clear my head. Been home for a while and that's where I'm at. But we can still jam on What's Up With That. Ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that? Ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up? Without you, yeah. Oh, yeah. Woo! Yeah.
Welcome back to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com, AM 1260, 101.9, and anywhere you can find it, SoundCloud, iTunes, whatever. Jordan, let's get into some news. Dana White finally met with Khabib Nurmagomedov this week on his decision to retire. The infamous decision. What's up with that?
Yeah, so this was good. So last week the UFC, Dana White on his Instagram, he posted a video of him going into a room with Khabib. He showed Khabib in there, he showed him in there, and the UFC was going to and they were talking about, hey, this is the meeting that they're gonna have. And then I got a press conference on Saturday early morning. It said, kicking off the main card on ABC, UFC Dana White will appear live to discuss the future of the UFC lightweight champion, Khabib Nurmagomedov. And so he came on, right? He came on the show. It wasn't the first thing. He came on after the first fight. And so he comes on and says that, hey, Khabib has made a decision. And that decision is that he hasn't really made a decision, Eddie. It was a big maybe. We thought it was going to be black or white. We thought it was a yes or no. It turns out it was just a maybe. And Khabib said, hey, I don't want to hold up the division, but I want these guys to impress me. I was impressed by Charles Oliveira. And we'll see. We've got Michael Chandler versus Dan Hooker this week. We've got Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier. And if any of these guys excite me, then I'll come back and I'll fight them. So what this really preps us for is nothing, Eddie. If Khabib wants to fight, he'll fight. If he doesn't, he doesn't. We didn't get any definitive answer. And that kind of sucks going into this weekend. Like, I want to know, like, as we get ready for UFC 257, who is going to be the champion? Who is going to fight for a title? What's the status of the division? You would think that these guys have something to fight for. And Charles Oliveira, let's be honest, you got a win over Tony Ferguson, which is great. But Tony Ferguson, who just lost to Justin Gaethje, that's not going to put you in a title shot, right? That doesn't make sense.
Let me tell you the way I interpreted this. If you can believe Dana White, which is a big if, to me that means if Michael Chandler impresses Khabib, then he'll fight him. Having already demolished everyone else there, well, except for Hooker, who never got up to that point, he demolished Dustin Poirier, he demolished Conor McGregor. So maybe if the former Bellator champ, who's also a heavy striker and a good wrestler, impresses him, then that's a new challenge for him to come up and face. Everyone else, he's already done it. But also, can you really trust Dana White? He could just be saying this to stall for time and hoping that someone does something spectacular, and then he can go back to Khabib and say, see, look at this guy. He'd be a great challenge. And that's probably more likely.
Well, I mean, I think that Dana White, if you're really looking at business,
we know sometimes he just comes out and lies.
Well, just in the whole business side of this, Eddie, I mean, there's one fight to make for Khabib's last fight at 30-0, and it's the Conor McGregor fight, because that fight is going to do the most amount of business. You put GSP versus Khabib, they're not going to sell as many pay-per-views as McGregor versus Khabib. That's just facts.
But it is bigger for his legacy, and that's what he's more concerned about. He's got plenty of money, and in Dagestan, what he has is already he can't spend. So is money his main motivator? It's his legacy.
That's the only – well, there's no legacy. You're not going to get a legacy from beating Michael Chandler. You're not going to get a legacy from beating
– Yeah, it's only GSP is the real legacy fight.
And, you know, the Schmo was in the press conference afterwards, and he asked Dana White, is GSP even a possibility? And Dana said no. Then the Schmo saw Khabib on Fight Island and said, hey – what about GSP? And there's a little back and forth. I'm not sure exactly what was said, but Eddie, there's only one fight to make, and it's only about money. That's the only thing that you could actually do if you're Dana White is back a Brinks truck up to Khabib's house and just give him whatever he wants in order to make the fight against Conor, because that's the only fight that if you're really Dana White, the one that's going to get away is that rematch where you can go upon that bad blood, where you can just sell 2 million, 2.5 million buys because you have so many people that are interested in it and there's so much money to be made. You're not going to get as much money. Think about what the Gaethje-Khabib fight did, what the Poirier-Khabib fight did. Nowhere near what the possibility and what the previous fight between Conor McGregor and Khabib did before. So I just think it's, you know, what you don't want to say is that if Dustin wins this week, Khabib's not going to fight Dustin. He already beat Dustin. He likes Dustin, but that does nothing for anybody. If Conor wins this weekend, then you could, and Khabib just has to get over like the pride issue. Conor said that, remember Dana had talked about the Ultimate Fighter and having Khabib versus Conor on the Ultimate Fighter. Conor did an interview with Ariel Helwani that aired on ESPN this week, and Ariel asked Conor about that. And Conor said, yeah, they did approach me. I didn't think Khabib would ever do it, but I could do it. I could handle it. We could do it with there, and that would be good for business. Obviously, Conor wants that win back. But that's also the biggest payday for Conor McGregor as well because of what those two mean to each other.
And see, the thing is, Khabib's pride issue, I mean, he doesn't have to get over it. Nope. He has no reason for himself to fight Conor because as a man of principle, he can't stand Conor McGregor. Yeah. Doesn't want to do anything that will help him out, that'll put money in his pocket. And basically just having this whole lead up to another fight would just be like horrible promotion for him.
Yeah, that would
or
be
just,
challenging.
Just the way it all goes, yeah.
So, but I just don't think that he, you know, he's going to have to do something for Conor McGregor. And the thing that he does for Conor McGregor is he's going to, you know, vacate the belt. And then Conor McGregor gets to take the belt over and win that way and go from there. But
well, I think the only way that they could convince Khabib to come back and fight, it would have to do something to do with either his teammates or his new promotion, Eagle Fighting Championship. Yeah. Maybe make it a minor league. Give it free access to UFC Fight Pass for a few years or something like that. It would have to be something like that would help other people besides Khabib. Just backing up a Brinks truck of money, I don't think that's going to do it.
Yeah, but I think the only fight, right, and we said this before, the only fight that makes sense is Khabib versus Conor or Khabib versus GSP. No one else, no matter how impressive they look, it's not going to happen.
No, but like if the truth is that he wants someone to impress him, it would only be Michael Chandler that... Because if it's Conor, you'd already be convinced. But if Michael Chandler like impresses him, then maybe that might intrigue him, just as a martial artist. But that's the only other thing outside of those two.
I think the whole impress me thing is not real. So
yeah, I'm not sure I believe Dana either. Now Jordan, Cody Garbrandt, if you move down a couple divisions, is looking to build off his KO of the Year contender against Rafael Assuncao. What's up with that?
Yeah, that's the only time we've seen Cody in the last year. He that win, we knew that he wanted to go down and fight Deiveson Figueiredo for the flyweight title That's delayed, obviously, because we know that that draw with Brandon Moreno, that's gonna be their match they do next with the flyweights. But he did say that he's interested in fighting maybe Jose Aldo in April. He'd like to fight a clean TJ Dillashaw sometime this year. And obviously, you know, Cody Garbrandt, good business, and always a fun fighter, so can't wait to see him back.
Yeah, that would be fun either way it goes. I don't think you can put him in a matchup against anyone and people wouldn't be uninterested. Now let's go to a completely different weight class, Jordan. The Mountain from Game of Thrones, Hafþór Björnsson, a.k.a. the 2018 World's Strongest Man and current deadlift world record holder, 1,105 pounds if you're counting, made his boxing debut this past weekend in Dubai. What's up with that?
Yeah, so I didn't catch this, Eddie. I do know Björnsson made, you know, boxing history. He was the first titan weight competitor. You know, he's 6'9". He weighed 450 pounds when he set that deadlift record. But he said that he trimmed down. He moved down to 344 for this exhibition fight against Irish boxer Stephen Ward. At the end of the fight, the ref declared both these guys are winners. And
yeah, because it was an exhibition. Yeah.
This is a plan for him, though. He's going to be facing a previous deadlift world record holder, Eddie Hall, a guy who he doesn't like, in September, and he's going to box him. And so they're kind of a prep fight for that.
Yeah, he didn't look too bad. He did get his nose bloodied, even though he had lots of reach and height advantage against Stephen Ward. So it's probably good to get hit in the face a few times. I doubt that's happened to him much at his size. But sign me up for that Eddie Hall fight, though, because just two behemoths like that slugging at each other, it's got to be better than Dana 500 and
Kimbo. We hope so. It's going to be sloppy, let's be honest.
In my mind, I was like, is it Dana 500 or 5,000? I'm like, no, that's Andre 3,000. He only gets 500.
Okay.
Anyway, Jordan, hit us with some new fights.
All right, so a really good matchmaking, Ryan Hall versus Dan Ige, UFC Fight Night, March 13th.
Someone's going to fight Ryan Hall?
There you go. Eric Anders versus Darren Stewart. Now we got some title fights, Eddie. Stipe Miocic versus Francis Ngannou, UFC 260, March 27th, and Alexander Volkanovski versus Brian Ortega. Same fight in the co-main event. Eddie, that's what's up with that. That's new fights, guys. You're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
Until next time. Hey, 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 hey. Ooh. What's up with that? What's up with that?
The champ is here. 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 The champ is here.
Eddie, the double champ is here. Usually I save that for the current champions, but you got to give Conor McGregor the respect that Conor McGregor deserves, Eddie. Conor McGregor makes his return to Fight Island, back to the Octagon, when he faces Dustin Poirier in a rematch of their 2014 matchup. But before we get there, Eddie, there's a fight card on Wednesday night. And if you're listening on the radio on 104.9 The Horn, you've already missed it.
You already missed it.
Neil Magny fighting Michael Chiesa in the main event of UFC Fight Island 8. Also on the card, Warley Alves versus Munir Lazez, Roxanne Modafferi versus Vivian Arujo, Omari Akhmedov versus Tom Breeze. I like that as well, Eddie. But let's break down this Michael Chiesa versus Neil Magny fight.
And I think what should have been the co-main event, Matt Schnell versus Tyson Nam.
Okay.
But the main event, it is going to be, I'm just going to say, fun. These are two hard-nosed guys who neither one of them has real knockout power, so you can almost bet it's going to go the distance. And no one's going to take too many steps backwards. Both of them are very skilled, very proficient. And I think it's just going to be an all-around good fight.
Yeah, this will be good. So you got Michael Chiesa fighting at welterweight. Obviously, he made his welterweight debut back in 2018. He defeated Carlos Condit in his debut. He fought Diego Sanchez and then Rafael Dos Anjos. And so Rafael Dos Anjos, that's a good win, right? He did fight for an interim title at welterweight. He's the former lightweight champion. But if you think about that, Carlos Condit was not at his peak when they fought. Diego Sanchez, not at his peak when he fought. Rafael Dos Anjos, truly a lightweight, and so a blown-up kind of welterweight. But Magny will be his first kind of true welterweight performance. Welterweight that is at the peak of his career. And if you think about Neil Magny, he's got wins. His last win over Robbie Lawler, he's got three wins in a row. He's got a win over Li Jingliang, who we talked about earlier. Carlos Condit, Johnny Hendricks, Hector Lombard, Kelvin Gastelum. He's got some good wins in the UFC.
Yeah, and he was my fighter of the year. What was it 2017 or so when he fought? He pulled a Kevin Holland and fought five times in the year.
That was 2014, Eddie. 2014. Yeah. He went 5-0 in the UFC.
Okay, so that was a little while ago. All right. So he may not be quite at his peak, but I think he's probably better than he was then, giving us a few more years and not too much damage afterwards.
Yeah.
So this will be a much better test for KSI.
Yeah, you mentioned it already. I think this has decision written all over it. These both guys, especially in a five-round main event, this will be a fun fight. So, Eddie, I don't want to waste any more time on UFC Fight Island 8. I want to get into the main event, UFC 257, the return of Dustin Poirier, the return of Conor McGregor. And Eddie, this is a rematch for both these guys. They fought at UFC 178 at featherweight in 2014. Conor finished Poirier inside 2 minutes. Eddie, what does that fight, if any, have any bearing on this rematch?
To me, the only bearing that has on this rematch is that it makes Dustin angry because, hot take, Jordan, I think that was an illegal punch that put him down. It was way in the back of the head, way behind the ear. If you look at it, you'll see that that was nowhere near the temple. It was, like I said, way behind the ear. So anger, more motivation for Dustin Poirier. Kind of mixed that Louisiana blood boil. That reminds me, I was going to send you some Dustin Poirier hot sauce, but I completely forgot, so my bad.
Still time, Eddie.
I'm not sure a Southern California boy like you could take that.
Bro, I handled the BMF wings. I can handle some Louisiana hot sauce.
That's not Louisiana.
Eddie, I think I agree with you. I think this is a different fight, right? And I don't take a lot of stock in the 2014 fight. Other than that, this is a now fight at lightweight. I want to see on Thursday at the press conference how Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier interact. With Conor, it's the mind games, right? It's the mental edge that he has. He was in Dustin Poirier's head leading up into that fight at UFC 178. This week, we'll see how he gets. Right now, they've been very cordial with each other.
Very complimentary.
Saying, hey, very complimentary. They've both matured. Conor has said, hey, there's going to be blood. It's not going to be bad blood. And he has much respect for Dustin Poirier. But we saw some of that.
Poirier's charity.
Yeah, the Good Fight Foundation. We saw some of that, though, in the fight against Cowboy Cerrone, right? Where he was kind of, not tricking him, but like putting him into in a false sense of security, and then he attacked. And so that's what's going to be interesting about this fight is how the rest of fight week goes and leading up into this fight. Conor McGregor, he predicted that this fight will finish under 60 seconds, that he will finish him. I don't believe that happens. I don't believe that this fight will be over in just 60 seconds, but I do see it being stopped in under 2 minutes. Now, to me, Conor's one of the best first-round fighters in MMA. He comes out ferocious, and we've seen that as he looks for that finish right away. He's gotten a lot of wins early on in his fights because of the way he starts.
Yeah, I would be so surprised if that happens. I see this complete opposite. I see Poirier getting a win, getting a submission on the ground in the third or fourth round. Conor's going to tire a little bit. He's put on some more weight, some more muscle. His cardio was already suspect to begin with. I'm sure he's been working on it, but it's nowhere near what Poirier showed in like the Hooker fight.
Yeah.
You know, and also Dustin's just a much more well-rounded fighter. So if he tries to wrestle, maybe gets Conor against the fence and tires him out a little bit, pulls a little Khabib on him, and he's got great jiu-jitsu. His thug jiu-jitsu is going to come out on top. That's my call.
I think, I hope I said the first two rounds, not the first 2 minutes. So I do think it's going to be finished in the first two rounds. You look at Conor's, he went to the fourth round with Khabib. He went to the fifth round with Nate in the rematch. He went to a decision with Max Holloway. Everything else in his fight is finishes in the first or second round. So I do think that he is a great first round fighter. Obviously,
so you're not even putting Dustin on level with Nate.
Come on, man. I think they all go. I think it's a two round fight. But
Come on.
I'm excited though. I love.
I'll bet you $5 right now.
Ooh, I need better odds than that, Eddie. Dustin Poirier. I think Dustin Poirier is a great competitor. We have been following Dustin Poirier for years and always like one of like the good guys in MMA. We've talked to him a few times and he's just someone that brings it. I mean, I remember when we used to do fight picks, like performance of the night picks, Eddie, anytime Dustin Poirier was fighting, it was like an automatic. Yeah, he's going to get a bonus because that's just the way he fights. All right, Eddie, in the co-main event, you've got Michael Chandler making his UFC debut versus Dan Hooker. Now, I think this is a great matchup for the debut of Michael Chandler. And if he really is a top contender in the UFC, then we should see him defeat Dan Hooker. Dan Hooker is great, but you know, you think he's not the top one, two, or three guys in the division.
Right. There's levels.
There are levels to this. Max Holloway showed us that this week too.
Yeah, he did. But yeah, I have to agree. Former Bellator champ Michael Chandler, if you've watched him, he can just blitz the crap out of you in that first round. But he's also a great wrestler. He's got good power and pretty decent stamina, although Ben Henderson might have outlasted him, you know, in the like the fourth and fifth rounds of their first fight. But that's also Ben Henderson, who's known for five-round wars. So that's can't take anything away from the guy there. But so, yeah, I think Chandler's going to take this one. I wish this was five rounds, but with it only being three, you're going to see lots of Chandler, lots of fury. He's going to be able to let it all hang out, and I think he's going to finish this in the third.
Now, I agree that I think that Michael Chandler, probably a better fighter than Dan Hooker, but I think the octagon jitters are real, Eddie. And we saw that with Eddie Alvarez, who came over from Bellator. He lost to Cowboy Cerrone in that first fight. I don't think that Cowboy Cerrone at that time was better than Eddie Alvarez. Eddie Alvarez went on to win a UFC lightweight title, but I do think it's real. And so that way, I'm actually going to give Dan Hooker the win via decision in this fight. That's how I see it going, and I don't think that that means that Michael Chandler is never going to get back to the top, but I just think that it's going to be a little bit longer road to get there.
See, I think you're forgetting the fact that Michael Chandler's already done this before. He's flown to Abu Dhabi. He's cut weight. He basically did everything but walk to the cage. So I don't think his jitters are going to be as bad as you think, because basically he's been in this situation before.
Yeah, I agree. Jessica Eye versus Joanne Calderwood is on the fight card, but I want to skip them and I want to talk to about Amanda Ribas versus Marina Rodriguez. Amanda Ribas, she's a top prospect at strawweight. She's 4-0 in the UFC. She's got wins over Mackenzie Dern, Randa Markos. And then the UFC matched her up against Paige VanZant in what was Paige's final fight of her contract, because they knew that that was going to be a bad matchup for Paige. She was supposed to fight Carla Spars at UFC 256. Michelle Watterson was originally supposed to be fighting her on this fight card, but she had to back out, and now she's matched up with Marina Rodriguez. Rodriguez is actually ranked 8th. Ribas is ranked 9th. You've got to think that this is another, you know, moment to show some shine on Amanda Ribas.
Yeah, and Amanda was already one of the stars of Fight Island last year. I mean, with that Paige VanZant performance. And then they had her stick around for, seemed like, a couple of weeks. She was all over UFC social media and letting her personality shine through, and she's just a fun follow. But yeah, this could be a good one. The Michelle Watterson fight would have been a great one, though, because of her wrestling and jiu-jitsu, too.
Yeah.
So I'm upset we missed out on that one.
Yeah, I am, too. Pretty good undercard as well. You got Nasrat Haqparast versus Armin Saryukian, Brad Tavares versus Antonio Carlos Jr., that shoe
face.
That's
a sneaky good one.
And then Sarah McMahon versus Juliana Pena. I think Khalil Roundtree is on the undercard as well. So
yeah,
not bad over there.
Card.
Eddie,
yeah, that's a pretty good card, man.
Tell us what's happening over at on ONE Championship.
Oh, yeah, for you crazy guys. Main card starts at 6:30 Friday morning on BR Live. You've got Shinya Aoki, former UFC vet, headlining ONE Championship 126, Unbreakable. And also, we're just over a month from Mighty Mouse fighting for the ONE Flyweight title. That'll be on the February 24th.
Awesome.
So that'll be one to definitely get up early for.
Well, Eddie, I'm excited. You know, I love a good Conor McGregor fight week. There's going to be some fireworks, I'm sure, at the press conference. But guys, stay tuned for Justin and Stu, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, coming up next. We are proud to be the official MMA show of the official Longhorn Station right here on 104.9 The Horn, 101.9 FM and AM 1260. Check us out at Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. Guys, have a great week, and we will see you next week.
Stay safe, stay positive, and love your life. And if we ever didn't thank you, let us do it now.
Happy trails to you, till we meet again.
You said this is a very personal fight. You have been very gracious before in wins and also in defeats. Do you see yourself being able to kind of squash the beef after fighting with him? Will you extend your hand after the fight on Saturday night?
Peace. There will never be peace here. I always say you should aim for peace. But if you can't aim for peace, aim between the eyes. And that's it. I'm going to aim right between that man's eyes. And this is never over. Never, ever, ever over.